Greetings, dear listeners. A happy and a merry to all of you out there. Whether it be Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Bodhi Day, or what we will be highlighting these next few weeks, Christmas. We are back, but this time as your hillbilly holiday hosts. I am Jesco.
And I am Chauncey. For those who don't know, Jesco and I are working our way through the book Sleeping in Your Debunk Bed by Herman Perfunctorious. It is a month-by-month challenge to try and prove or disprove the mysteries of the universe.
Since we are now in December, our objective for this month is to try and prove the existence of Santa Claus. This particular challenge is so close to our heart because we do wish it to be true.
Now, do we actually believe Père Noël is real? Not necessarily. But like Jessica was saying, we hold the smallest glimmer of hope. Like those people who want to prove the existence of Sasquatch so they can marry one.
For all you sleuths out there, you know the main thing you want to do in order to build your case is to gather evidence.
We have several folks around our community who have claimed they have seen Santa. And there's almost no better reference than a primary source.
So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to these individuals about their eyewitness accounts. Like today, we'll be talking to a gentleman who's become well known for the way he encountered jolly old St. Nicholas.
Christmas.
Why, I think I hear our guest right now. Let me go open the door for him.
You are our Christmas tree.
Why, it's our good friend from down the way, Vernesto.
Vernesto is one of the more recent tenants of this here trailer park. He's a transplant from one of the more refined parts of the world.
Yes, I'm from House Madominus of the Lineage Pyramidus. We have stayed in every castle west of Wales and other parts of the UK. Merry Christmas to you, gentlemen, and I say God bless it.
Bernesto, we were just telling the listeners that you've had an encounter with old Kris Kringle that has become quite famous around these parts.
Certainly, but first, a song. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
I'm sure that sounds just lovely, Bernesto, but we don't have the time to perform that song in its entirety.
Yes, a good point. Let's see, what else can I sing for you?
That's okay, Bernie. Why don't you just continue on with your story?
Quite right. So it happened some 10 years ago. I was out doing my caroling, wassailing among the leaves so green. Then, while holding the perfect C note, I tilted my head up, and what to my wondering eyes should appear?
Was it Santa's sleigh flying through the night?
No.
Rudolph with his nose so bright?
It was... Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen.
Bernesto.
Deep and crisp and even, brightly shone.
Bernesto. As nice as your singing would be to some people, we are just hanging on every word of your story. Please continue.
Ah, yes. In what to my wondering eyes should appear... but a red mass, right above my head, stuck in a tall oak tree. He was dangling from the branches, his belly wiggling like a bowl full of jelly.
Wow! Just like the legend says.
I shouted, "Ho there!" I couldn't make out his features, for his upper half was hidden amongst the tree limbs. He did answer promptly, "Who yourself?" I shouted back, "May I pose an inquiry?" "That depends," he replied. "Will it be something that causes me to pose my foot up your..." And he used a vulgar term for your derriere.
Oh boy, sounds like someone gave Santa some spoiled milk.
Quite right. Needless to say, I wasn't expecting the attitude. However, I am a gentleman, so I did not retort in kind. So, I answered him, "No, good sir. I just was wondering, with your attire and your physical build, would you happen to be the famed Santa Claus?" He paused for a second, belched, then grumbled out, "Sure." "Good show!" I exclaimed in jubilation. "Jolly old Saint Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul
what I did today. Then what, Bernesto?
I pranced over to where he was to help him down. I pulled on his leg, but his belt must have been too loose because his pants fell off, and he wasn't wearing any undergarments.
You got eye to eye with his little Saint Nick?
I was aghast. I closed my eyes and ran away. I ran into traffic and was almost struck by a truck. And that was the end of my encounter.
That's awful. I'm sorry that was your experience, Bernesto. We do thank you for showing the strength to regale us with your Santa experience.
Despite what happened, I do thank you for the opportunity to tell my tale, and hopefully it helped you in your quest.
It certainly was a good place to start. We shall continue to gather our evidence as the weeks progress. Speaking of good starts, this week...
Excuse me, Chunky, if I may.
Yes, Bernesto?
Would I be able to get one last song in? I will be brief.
Okay, if it's quick.
The first Noel, the first Noel, 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 yes, well, Israel.
This week, the boys have a very special guest on to talk about her holiday experiences. It's they mama. Stay tuned for a Holiday Six Mix when the Radcast returns.
Hey, did you guys give up?
We now return.
Have you had enough pain?
To the Radcast.
Never!
Our mom is here to read from her diary. That's what it looks like. Childhood diary.
I'm not going to lie. I would be very interested to read through a childhood diary.
Of someone's childhood?
Someone's childhood diary. Yes, I don't know.
That's long gone. I think I kept a diary for about 6 months. And it was just stupid stuff. I wrote a letter to Cousin Debbie, you know, that kind of stuff.
Knowing you weren't planning on sending this letter?
was this the 70s? Dear Cousin Debbie, Mom and Dad are jive, man.
Yeah, exactly.
They're jive turkeys. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, that was yesterday. We're recording this on Black Friday for as black as the hearts of the American consumer are.
This is your Black Friday deal on the Radcast.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome everybody back in, and this is a very special holiday Radcast, as our friends Jesco and Chauncey and that Yahoo Bernesto we're talking about.
He's got a good singing voice.
Did
they ask about me?
No. Well, they said the boy's mom is on the show.
That's it.
Yeah, but we're doing a holiday six mix. For those of you that were with another six mix, first of all, which we love, the day that this We are recording this. Our six mix from last week with our good friend Joe Gilbert is coming out. Mm. We have not seen the numbers on that yet, but we know it will do, as we have been saying,
so good.
Gangbusters.
Yeah,
gangbusters.
So good.
The equivalent of selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
It's going to do great, and we are hoping that this one does great. So don't screw the pooch.
Also, what's the difference between McDonald's hotcakes and just pancakes? Why do they call it hotcakes and not pancakes?
Branding.
Who's Brandon?
Brandon.
Is he in charge
Brandon.
Of that?
Branding. Oh. Brandon. I said branding.
Oh.
McDonald's branding. That's why it tastes better.
Branding. Branding. Branding.
I think it's a, you know what? So I don't know if it's a regional thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's just some people call them pancakes. Some people
yeah.
call them hotcakes. Some call them flapjacks.
Yeah. It's like Paul Bunyan calls them flapjacks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like calling soda pop or soda or Coke,
mm-hmm.
which to each their own, but calling all soda Coke is just wrong, and you
yes.
should stop it because Coke
yes.
is Coke.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that are issues in Texas, but we're
yeah,
not going to
exactly.
get into that right now.
Hey, your state's too big.
Yeah.
It takes too long to drive through it.
Exactly. And your highways are effed up, man.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that right now because we have fun on the Radcast.
Yes.
We have a good time. And just like in October when we did a holiday-specific Radcast, that's what we're doing here for the Christmas season.
Yes.
So thank you all for joining us. And we're going to get to our mom here in just a second. But before that, Matt, why don't you let everyone know where they can find us?
We are on Instagram. You can find us at the Radcast K. Radcast mm-hmm. is spelled with a K.
Mm-hmm.
Radcast is all one word. And then as far as where you listen to us, just you name it, we're probably there.
Mm-hmm.
And then wherever you can rate and review, please do so if you are so inclined.
Yes.
It really helps us
yes,
out.
Yes, it really helps us out. So if you like us, please do all you can to help us out. And if anything, you can just reach out to us on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So yeah.
Questions, concerns,
yeah.
compliments. Compliments, please.
Please, compliments. Please talk nice to us.
Please
for
be
those
nice.
Of you that maybe want to talk dirty. So
yeah.
please to DM separate from
yeah.
the both of us.
Talk nice to me.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a great song. But we are happy because this is also our fifth six mix. So that's pretty cool. No, this is our sixth six. This is our fifth. We're going to be turning, Radcast is turning five next year.
Yeah.
So
this is another six mix.
Forget everything I just said.
Yeah.
This is our sixth six mix.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This is our sixth six mix. So one more six and we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But, welcoming back to the show for your fourth appearance, so you're almost a five-timer. The first time since we talked about Surf Ninjas with her, our sister Samantha,
oh, yeah.
and our nephew Ben.
Yeah.
Our mom. Hello, Mom.
Hi,
Donna
Mom.
Hello. Hello, boys.
Yes.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome for having me.
What's the, what's this NPR voice you're putting on?
Usually you're like,
Yeah.
This is my mourning voice.
Oh.
What are you mourning?
The end of Thanksgiving?
But Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah.
What are you mourning? No. Are you mourning the effect that Black Friday has on people?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes,
yes.
Mm. Consumerism. No, I thought I would try out what I used to call my professional phone voice.
Right.
When I was a receptionist
oh.
at several jobs that I had.
Thank you for thinking the show's professional.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, very professional.
Oh, boy.
You would answer the phone saying, hello, I'm mourning.
Hello, this is Donga. Oh, shoot. Let me try again.
Hello, this is Donga.
Well, that's the voice I used when Keith Hernandez called the office that I was working
what?
At.
Yeah. How is this the first time I'm hearing this
19,
story?
1979 MLB National League MVP Keith Hernandez
yes.
for he played
Cardinals
for the St. Louis Cardinals
baseman.
From the mid
yes.
70s until 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Famous, he's Cardinal
Coke
Hall of Famer. Snorted a bunch of coke. He was part of the bad boy New York Mets and
yeah.
also the subject of one of the more famous episodes of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell
where,
us about
where
that
were you
story.
Working?
Yeah.
Why
I was
is Keith
working,
Hernandez?
At a company called Missouri Envelope. That was my first full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the men that worked, a salesperson uh-huh. that worked there, was a neighbor of Keith Hernandez.
Oh, okay.
And he called in and, you know, he asked for this gentleman. I don't even remember the guy's name. And
he yelled at him because he wants his Coke money.
You know, it's, you know, I'm doing my professional
yeah, of
thing.
Course.
And he was, you know, had to take a message. may I ask who's calling? Mm-hmm. And he said, Keith Hernandez. And I'm like, in my brain, I'm going exploding.
What? Because you knew who Keith Hernandez was.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
You're a Cardinal. You're a Cardinals fan.
Yes, I am. Of course, I'm one of the Fairweather fans, you know.
Okay.
No, I love the Cardinals.
Yeah,
I love the Cardinals, love the Blues. I just don't sit and watch every game.
Of course. Of course. Doesn't mean you're a Fairweather fan. That would imply that you only like them when they're good.
No.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that is Dad gets so upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I don't want to watch them. They're going to lose. It's like, okay, whatever.
What a great environment to grow up in.
Well, you know, he did. You know, he lived, when he was a kid, he lived and died by the Cardinals.
Of course. You get disappointed enough, you're like, what's the point?
Yeah. And, you know, he tells the story how he walked home from elementary school when they were beat in the World Series by the Detroit
Tigers. Yeah,
Tigers, and he loved Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
And, so, anyway, we're not talking about that today.
Of course not. Keith Hernandez.
What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about Keith Hernandez.
Yeah, we're talking about Keith. I despise Keith Hernandez.
Yeah. That's from the Seinfeld
episode.
I've never heard that
story before.
That's very cool.
So you're using your Keith Hernandez voice.
You should have just said that.
No, I'm using my professional phone voice.
But you just mentioned something from your past we had never heard before. And now we're going to be talking about maybe some other things that we had never heard before. Mm-hmm. But in regards to the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So with the six mix, we have a smattering of six questions, but these are all going to be Christmas-centric. So I'm going to start with question number one.
Okay.
Unless you want us to start with five.
Let's do them in order.
Okay. So as a very simple one, simple that it's just a simple, basic question, but maybe it's a hard to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite Christmas movie?
This was a tough one.
Sure.
Because I just love Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say Iron Man 3.
What?
Hold on.
Our mom has this mentality that if it has Christmas in it, then it's a Christmas movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
which does apply to some movies, but some that's really reaching.
Yeah.
Like Iron Man 3.
Born Identity.
Yeah. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Pretty sure she doesn't even draw the line at Christmas being mentioned. They mentioned Christmas. This is a Christmas movie.
Christmas movie.
Okay.
Christmas, no.
It's an in joke that we have carried on.
Yeah. Okay. I had to get that out there.
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes, you're a real comic genius.
I'm a real comedian. This was a really hard question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I love Christmas.
Yeah, of course.
I love Christmas movies. When I was growing up, we didn't watch Christmas movies. There were Christmas specials on TV.
Yeah.
You know, we had the best. You know, when I was growing up, we had Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Christmas special.
Like Christmas variety show.
They had guests. I mean, I remember watching the one with Bing Crosby and David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. At the time, you know, I was like, David Bowie. Who's David Bowie? But Andy Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have their whole families on these shows.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we watched.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, you know, Christmas movies. We had network TV and they came out, you know, Dean Martin had, you know, All Stars. And it was
Charles
just
Manson.
Frank. Yeah, yeah. No.
Oh.
Frank Sinatra. So that's the kind of stuff we watched when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, I've discovered so many great classic movies that take place at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And you would want to watch them as a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of my movies that I really love, it's not my favorite, is a movie called Remember the Night. And we discovered this a couple years ago with Fred McMurray and Barbara Stanwyck.
Okay.
This was like 1939, 40.
Yeah.
And she's a shoplifter. And at the beginning of the movie, it's Christmas. It's probably a couple days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets arrested. And Fred McMurray's the DA's office. You know, they don't want to lock her up over Christmas, but she still has to appear in court to be prosecuted for shoplifting, you know, priceless jewelries.
Yeah.
And he ends up taking her home to Ohio, and she meets his family, and they fall in love. It's just, you know, a really...
Yeah.
It's just watching people, you know, pop popcorn in the fireplace and singing around the piano. Yeah. And, you know, the mother is Beulah Bondi, who's the mother in my favorite Christmas movie.
Iron Man 3.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
That, I mean, that was my, when I saw that question, when you sent me the questions, it's like, that's the first thing that popped in my head. It's a Wonderful Life. That's my favorite.
Of course.
All time.
I like, and those old, especially the old Christmas movies, it's like you were alluding to popping popcorn in the fireplace and all that stuff. You get an insight into, like, because Christmas obviously has been around forever. And you're, of course, familiar with your Christmas traditions or more recent Christmas traditions, but it's fun to get an insight into, like, what were the Christmas traditions back then?
Right.
Because, like, you didn't have TV. And, like, you didn't have Christmas movies and Christmas specials and all this stuff. So it's like while you're home with family, you're all sitting around talking, smoking cigarettes, popping. I mean,
Popping popcorn. Well, they didn't put the trees up till Christmas Eve. They didn't decorate the tree until Christmas Eve.
I'm not in favor of that.
Yeah. I think because they were live trees.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense.
And,
yeah.
And at the time, at that time, they would put candles on the trees.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
They didn't have, you know, lights.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
Plug in.
Yeah.
This was this movie that I was talking about, Remember the Night, takes place in rural Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't even think the house had electricity.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the 40s, not everybody had electricity in the rural areas.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, shoot, Grandma Parrott Thompson at the time, they
your grandma.
My mom.
Your mom.
My mom. Their house did not have electricity until she was like a senior in high school.
Oh, wow.
So 1958?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
57, 58? So, you know, wood-burning stove.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, it blows your mind to think about all the stuff that my parents saw, you know. And, well, shoot, you think about Grandma Thompson, who was 96 when she passed. All the things that she saw in her lifetime, it's just like mind-blowing. So,
so that's why there's this more, and of course there's an emphasis put on family so much and other people's you know, lives for the most part. That's why there's such a big emphasis for, like, at least for Grandma to want to really, really, she's just adamant about having family around because it's all she had growing up. When you don't have electricity, you don't have, you know, what we know now as basic amenities, you know, that's all you have, especially around Christmas time. That's when there's a lot more of an emphasis on Christmas being like about surrounding yourself with family. When did you start really getting into Christmas movies? Because I know you had the specials and you only had network TV. So, and also, of course, even when you were in high school, cable TV wasn't as what, I mean, it was a thing.
I didn't
like,
know about cable TV.
Exactly. Yeah. It was, but it wasn't like the thing to have until the 80s. So so I'm guessing they did show like It's a Wonderful Life, like on CBS and stuff like that.
Not at that time. No, no. That was more of the 80s.
Oh, I
think White Christmas was probably the first Christmas movie I remember seeing as a teenager.
Okay, so you
late
were...
teens. I loved White Christmas.
Yeah.
Now it's like I don't have to watch it every year.
Yeah.
I can't watch it with Dad in the room. He hates that movie now. He doesn't like Danny Kaye.
Oh, fair enough. What does he have against the court jester?
There's certain scenes in that movie. Yeah, I'll fast forward through that.
God,
when they're doing the
fucking Kaye.
The jazz dance or whatever, choreography or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
just eyes rolling in the back of his
But I
head.
Still love that movie.
Yeah.
Because you hear Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney singing together. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
My nephew's going to be famous. So you didn't. You obviously were aware of Christmas movies, but you didn't actually watch any Christmas movies until you were in high school. Is that what you're saying?
Right. No, I wasn't even aware of
You weren't even aware of Christmas
movies? Not even
movies?
Charlie Brown
Christmas
recall.
Special? Well, no, Christmas specials.
Okay, oh, so, well, yeah. Because you were talking about the variety shows.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, but also rolled into that is Charlie Brown and Frosty.
Charlie Brown and
Rudolph.
And Frosty.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I can't stand any of those.
Because that's all you had.
That's all I had. But then when you guys were growing up, we would play those. Yeah. It's like, if I have to watch this one more time.
If it makes you feel better, I don't like those ones.
Yeah,
they're kind of boring.
It's like, this is depressing.
It's very true. Yeah.
You know, when in Rudolph, when they're at the Misfit Toys.
Island of Misfit Toys, yeah.
And they're in that little sleeping, you know, together in that little room. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It makes me claustrophobic.
Well, and Frosty melts.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very somber, I'll be back on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But sounds like Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Yeah.
Except, but Charlie Brown ends with them going, doo-doo.
Yeah. Now, I enjoyed Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. But didn't really think about Christmas movies until I was an adult.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, also, you became an adult in the late 70s and the early 80s, which is when there was this. I mean, there were Christmas movies before then. Your Christmas in Connecticut, White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
But in the Rankin Bass stuff. But really, the explosion of some of the more popular Christmas movies happened when you were an adult.
I guess I don't think about the lack of accessibility to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because I feel like. The masses would see Christmas movies if they're like put back into theaters for the Christmas season or something.
And I think that Home Alone contributed to that started, I think, the explosion of Christmas movies.
I would say A Christmas Story, at least with like... Well,
A
Christmas Story, I guess, and as what we consider some of the classics now, Story came out in 1983, which was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have, as you go up the line, you have National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and you have, and I'm ashamed I'm missing some big ones, but you all know what Christmas
movies are.
But,
I mean,
but you're also right in that. With Home Alone coming out in 1990, there was a lot more Christmas movies that came out. But also there was like made-for-TV Christmas movies or like when Hallmark started their Christmas movies. So, unless you were seeing it on TV when you were a kid, which a lot of TV stations weren't airing a lot of this stuff. Like, they had the Christmas specials to go off of.
Right.
So that makes sense.
Right.
But definitely. Your story checks out.
Yes. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Fact
checker.
Yes. I mean, Muppet Christmas Carol is probably my favorite.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. It's, oh, yeah, that's my, up there.
It's my favorite adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm in love with the Muppets.
Yeah.
And just with that whole world of the Muppets interacting with humans, and the humans 99% of the time not batting an eye. It's just normal to them to talking with puppets. But also Michael Caine's depiction of
Ebenezer
Scrooge is great because he treats them like they're actors.
Yeah.
He treats them like they're other characters.
Yeah.
And also the music of Paul Williams.
Yeah. It's
fantastic. The songs in there. I get choked up every year. Every time I watch it, I love A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
I mean, It's a Wonderful Life. We have the routine every Christmas Eve of like It's a Wonderful Life. Of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. We started throwing Die Hard in there. And then, you know, before It's a Wonderful Life, we may watch like a Scrooge something else. But we did grow up. We were fortunate enough to grow up watching Christmas movies being around Christmas movies.
Yeah. But you said your favorite, just to answer the initial question, you said your favorite's It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's just so many out there. Like, you know, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Christmas in Connecticut. Another one, you know, showing the traditions back then, them, you know, decorating the tree and the singing in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But National Lampoon's. That's fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
but
silly. It's funny.
Muppets Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. I love that. And mm-hmm. Emmett Otter.
Emmett Otter's
jumping
in Christmas.
And not that many people know about Emmett Otter.
Uh-uh.
And it's just, I think we saw it on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few times we had HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think it was probably a free thing.
Yeah. So yeah. That's how you saw it first, yeah. And then mm-hmm. just implemented it into our tradition.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of these Christmas movies that I've grown to love, it's, you know, because of Turner Classic Movies.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that how you, a lot of the Christmas movies that we grew up with, is that a lot of how you found them was like just, oh, I saw it on TV, like a Home Alone or Home Alone 2 or like.
Right. Yeah. Right. It was the movie, you know, it was so popular, you know, Home Alone and
Santa Claus.
And I don't remember seeing those in the theater because there were so many of you children that we couldn't afford it with your dad being a teacher.
Yeah, and hating movies, apparently.
No, he doesn't. Dad loves movies. And, you know, dad was a teacher. You know, they don't pay teachers anything. Mm-hmm. And in the state of Missouri, if you're a public school teacher, they take a huge chunk of your paycheck before taxes and put it in the public school retirement fund.
Right.
We're benefiting from it now that dad's retired, but his take home pay was like nothing. So I had to work part time.
Yeah.
And, you know, even I still loved Christmas, but I hated it, you know, when I worked retail, the times that I worked retail.
Yeah.
You know, I still have nightmares about the lines at Kmart, you know.
Yeah.
When are these people going to go home?
Go home and be with your families. What are you doing?
So it's kind of like what we talked about yesterday. Yeah. I've always worked a job that was just a job and helped provide for the family.
Yeah,
so,
you never defined yourself by your work.
Yeah.
Like your family is how you define yourself.
Kind
of. I hate that idea of like loving like something like Christmas so much, but then like having kind of a disdain for it as well.
Yeah.
Because you're in a retail environment,
right?
Because you're working at jobs where you have to deal with the public, and it's they're much more difficult during the holidays to deal with. There's much more of them to deal with during the holiday, and it causes you to really, you know, have disdain for something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I hope I never reach that with a job.
No. Right.
Because I mean, that your love of Christmas that like transferred to us.
Yes.
And I don't know how our other siblings all feel about it. I think we all have different attitudes towards it depending on life experience, but I still greatly love Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I started decorating my apartment the day after Halloween. So,
what?
So
now that's a little too soon for me. No,
I've
been in the Christmas mood for several weeks now because I was doing some sewing, making some items for a craft fair, and it's a lot of Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Christmas, yes.
Yeah, it's so funny. It occurs during such a miserable time of the year,
in
terms of weather, and it gets dark super early.
Yeah.
It's 4:30, and it feels like midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, it's offset by the imagery is so bright, merry and bright, bright colors and lights and just the themes of joy and community and family and love.
And we absolutely understand it's not the same way for everybody.
No,
it can be a very trying time. And I very much am empathetic towards that. And like my heart goes out to you for that. If you're listening and that's your experience, you know, I hope you find joy in something.
Right.
Yeah. But
and not everybody celebrates Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Like even, you know, they're kind of slack jawed morons sometimes. Jessica and Chauncey made sure to say Happy Kwanzaa Hanukkah Bodhi Day.
There's several major holidays in December.
Right.
So happy holidays, not just Merry Christmas.
You know, I have a true appreciation because I know there are people out there that don't have the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate the fact that I still have my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have my family.
Yeah.
And that has been my whole life, has been about family.
Mm-hmm.
My closest friends were my cousins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was
You
very...
wrote a letter to one of them in your diary, knowing she'd never see it.
No, we wrote, you know, they lived out in the country. Yeah. We wrote letters back and forth.
Yeah.
In the summer, we would, you know, I'd go visit them and spend a week out in the country, not camping.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. You know, we spent a lot of time with family.
Yeah.
And I was very shy, didn't make a lot of friends at school. Mm-hmm. So it was just, you know, all about family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Would you say that's why you are such a big fan of Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah,
you got it, bud. No, my parents, you know, made it it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we may not have had tons of presents, mm-hmm. But it was a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the high point of the year. And I think a lot of that, too, you know, Grandma and Grandpa growing up, my parents did not have much growing up. Uh-huh. You know, Grandpa tells stories that, you know, he was one of eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he grew up after the Depression, but still they grew up in rural Missouri. Mm-hmm. And he tells stories about how they would wrap up their own toys and exchange them with each other. They
presents
didn't get
didn't
a lot of toys.
Matter.
They didn't get a lot of presents. Yeah. So when they became adults and moved to St. Louis and were able to provide an environment like that for their kids and for each other, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they didn't have that. You know, they had the Christmas spirit because it was, you know, going to church and, you know, about the Lord's birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on from Lord's birth, whatever.
Whatever.
Another thing uh-huh. that is hard to answer because although you may not have had Christmas movies, of course you had specials, one thing that probably was always around was Christmas music around that time.
Right, on the radio.
Yeah,
I don't recall having, you know, like when I was elementary school age, I don't recall having Christmas records.
Mm-hmm, right.
As a teenager, you know, I got the Elvis Presley Christmas album. And that has become one of my favorites.
Yeah. Want a hippopotamus for Christmas?
No. But those songs, you know, we heard those on the radio.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, like the novelty
Bing
ones?
Crosby.
Oh, like Bing Crosby. Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole and, you know, Rudolph and the Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, all those great songs on the radio, driving to Grandma and Grandpa's.
Yeah.
Out in the country,
yeah.
on country road.
Yeah, what a great...
Just listening, you know, it was... And I don't know if it was driving to their house or driving home from their house, but I can remember it being dark out.
Yeah.
And the music on the radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's...
It just adds to the memory and, and the nostalgia of it and your experience with that music.
Yeah, but it's just so hard to name a favorite Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love White Christmas and I love Vince Gill and Amy Grant's music.
Yeah.
You know, like Breath of Heaven.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
And plus, just thinking about the music we would listen to, because we would always, when we opened presents, we would have Christmas music on.
Right.
So, yeah, Elvis, Herb Alpert.
Oh, yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Chuck Mangione.
Yeah, and I'd never heard the Herb Alpert album, the Christmas music, until after Dad and I were married.
Mm.
And
that was his bag.
That was his favorite.
That was his bag, baby.
But it has become, you know, one of my favorites. The Bell That Couldn't Jingle.
It's
But some
Vince
of those
Gill's Christmas is is big too.
I mean, just listening to it, his voice is just like you're almost in tears.
Yeah.
You know.
Harry Connick Jr.
Oh yes.
When the Heart Finds Christmas.
Just, there's just so many, it's hard to know. I can't pick a favorite.
I think it's great. When you were a kid, you had all most of the best versions of these songs. It didn't become diluted with cover after cover after cover,
because
super polished recordings of Carrie Underwood.
Underwear.
but just for years, the pop stars of the 80s and the 90s, 2000s, and now the 2020s, 2010s, all record like the same songs, and not to mention like all their own original songs.
Yeah.
Like I Want a Shoddy for Christmas or something like that.
Excuse My Christmas.
Or Ariana Grande asking Christmas or asking Santa Claus to bring back the love of her life. Something like that. It's when an adult asks Santa Claus for something, it's dumb. But we didn't have all this, you know, when you're listening to something like 102.5 here in St. Louis, KEZK, which becomes the Christmas station. You know, you're not wondering, oh, is this this artist's version of this song, or is this Nat King Cole's version of the song, which is the one you love? So you were fortunate to have pretty much all the best versions.
Right.
So that's what you
all
were
the crooners.
All, yeah, all the crooners.
All the crooners, And it wasn't over the top. I don't think, you know, in the 50s, I think Christmas was, you know, like what you see in A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
But it was in the 60s with advertising and television becoming so predominant in the home. Mm-hmm. That's when you started seeing more advertisement for Christmas,
Christmas
more presents.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the Christmas specials.
Yeah.
It was, you know, they probably had those on radio.
Yeah.
You know, they probably had the Christmas specials on radio and in the 40s, in the 50s, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was in the 60s and then the 70s, and then it became more hyped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you created the commercial image.
Yes, yes.
The commercialism of Christmas really started in the
60s.
Really hit hard in the 60s, especially with color TV, because now you can show your product and vibrant Technicolor.
Yeah. And that's around the time, was it Macy's that did like the first mall Santa? I mean, probably that's probably a little.
I'd have to look it up. Yeah. It was a little sooner than
that.
But
still,
like, you know, something like, you know, Coca-Cola, who's known for creating the modern depiction of kind of
Santa Claus. Yeah.
You know, it just anybody that gets really start advertising big, and then when color TV became more dominant, like in color.
Well, it goes along with the modern day, some of the modern day performers, when they do their Christmas songs, it has to be so over the top.
Yeah.
Like Mariah Carey. It's like, I can't stand.
I hate that song.
Yeah. It's just, you know, just sing the song in a beautiful voice. It doesn't have to be over the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I don't like all that, you know, added.
All the flair and color. That was a good vocal run. Santa Claus is coming to town. But honestly, I feel like Christmas. So me personally, my favorite Christmas song. The question was favorite Christmas song or album. My favorite thing is the Christmas song, but Nat King Cole's version, which I think is the best version.
Yes.
And then I do love Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, John Denver and the Muppets.
John Denver with the Muppets Christmas
but
album.
But favorite Christmas album, I do love the, you know, White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
But I'd probably say the Vince Guaraldi Trio,
Charlie
Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
I think I think we should have stopped making Christmas music, whether it's covers or original or original songs. They should have stopped making Christmas music
at a certain point.
At a certain point. You know, whatever you out there feel like the cutoff point should be, whatever. But I think after a certain point, they should have stopped making Christmas music, because there's so many Christmas songs out there that, like, you've never heard of. Like, maybe you put on like a random playlist on Spotify of like 100, you know, or like 200 Christmas songs, and you hear a song and you're like, I've never heard this song before.
Right.
And it's
like
not
an older Christmas song.
Yeah, like something like Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Like,
had, or there's another Christmas song from this artist. So it's all
Johnny
this,
Mathis. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all Andy Williams. There's all these like B-sides of on, like, Christmas albums. So I think it's, at some point they should have stopped making Christmas music.
Yeah. No, I maintain that because if I hear like a current Christmas song, I'm like, we have enough Christmas music. We don't need another new Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, all of what we have at a certain point is fine, and they're classics. Just play those.
It's like people don't add to, well, you can say people don't add to the Bible, but, you know, the Bible as it is good enough for some people, and that's, you know, a book that's thousands of years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the thing with the radio station starting Christmas music right after Halloween, it's like, no, I don't want to listen to Christmas music or watch movies until it's closer to Christmas. It's got to be December.
It dismisses Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is great.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's just because Thanksgiving doesn't have, because like with Halloween, you have Halloween movies and Halloween specials and stuff like that. Thanksgiving, it doesn't really have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a handful of like legit Thanksgiving movies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no really Thanksgiving special. There's none of that stuff, which I think is a travesty. Mm-hmm. But given we're talking about consumerism and the advent of television and all that stuff, Halloween and Christmas has that to offer to people to incorporate into their traditions. So I don't think Thanksgiving should be dismissed any longer.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to start making Thanksgiving songs?
No.
And movies?
No.
Well,
I have
Adam
nothing
Sandler,
to contribute.
Didn't he have a Thanksgiving song?
Yeah, Thanksgiving song. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So moving on from music, question three, your favorite Christmas tradition as a kid?
It was just the whole Santa Claus.
Mm.
And for a long time, it was just Aunt Lori and I.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were elementary school age when Uncle Scott was born. But it was the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Brought the present, Santa Claus. And just the whole anticipation of going to bed and you can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because Santa Claus is coming, and then getting up in the morning and the presents being there, opening the presents with, you know, with my parents. And then when I got to an age where I maybe didn't believe in Santa Claus anymore, we still had that tradition because of the age gap between Uncle Scott and I and Aunt Becky and I. They were still little kids when I got married. So we still had that tradition of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. You know, the anticipation. And then even after you don't believe anymore, you still want to believe.
Well, it's a fun part of the holiday.
Yeah. And just, you know, the whole, you know, opening presents on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And then going to grandma and grandpa's out in the country. Got to a certain age, you know, when I was a teenager or maybe a little older, I didn't want to go to the country. I wanted to stay home and enjoy my presents.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, but just the whole, you know, Santa Claus and just spending time with family.
Yeah, the magic, the magic
again,
of it,
you know,
the anticipation, like you said.
Yeah. We, you know, we would go to either Grandma and Grandpa Thompson's or Grandma and Grandpa Parrott's.
Yeah.
After Grandma Parrott passed, we still would spend time with Grandpa Parrott, you know, and that extended family, you know, we would get together, you know, with them.
How, so it was out in the country, so we're talking, like, after you open gifts, you get dressed, how long of a drive is that, like, 2 hours?
At that time, because most of the drive, when I was real little, was on Route 66.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it would probably take 2.5 hours to get there, two and a half hours.
I don't blame you for wanting to stay home.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, you
presents,
know, with Grandpa being a truck driver, he didn't think anything of.
Oh,
well,
sure.
And they made that trip
hours.
So
yeah.
often.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we went to the country almost every weekend.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of their family worked in the city and then went home to the farm.
Yeah.
On the weekends and took care of stuff and the, you know. So it was, you know, going to the country. And it was, that was special back then. You know, seeing the Christmas lights if you drove through Stillville or Cuba, going that way. They had their Christmas lights and their old-fashioned decorations out. Yeah. So that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the tradition, because like you had mentioned, you know, you're not all bogged down with a bunch of stuff. Like, right. It's almost like the Christmas spirit in its truest, purest form.
Right.
It's just like, just excited for the day, for Santa Claus, for all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the presents were, you, I'm sure you were grateful for whatever you got, kind of thing.
An acorn.
Yeah, an acorn,
a bag of apples.
Yeah, well, that was
half
it.
Of a sock.
You know, there were apples or oranges in the stocking.
Yeah,
with some walnuts.
Yeah,
that was, you know, it was traditional
gum only in your stocking. They were trying to tell you something.
Well, and there were a couple Christmases I do remember us going to Grandma and Grandpa Thompson's and being there on Christmas Eve and spending the night there.
Yeah,
and just. They, you know, they would go and they would get a tree from out on their property.
Yeah.
And it was usually a little tree. It wasn't scrawny like Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, and they had the big lights, the big bulbs on the, you know, the old-fashioned Christmas lights.
Yeah.
And they're decorated and, you know, they'll turn the lights off.
Yeah.
And there was no TV because they had no reception during the, you know.
We just got electricity. What do you want from us?
Well, this memory is more of when they had moved to some property out in Ironton or near Ironton, and they had a trailer and they had electricity and they had an indoor bathroom.
Yeah. Mm.
There were times that they lived in places that we had to use an outhouse.
Mm.
And
yeah.
I did not like that.
Of course.
But I do have memories.
It's a Christmas outhouse.
Yeah.
It's decorated.
Yeah. You know, there was one Christmas they were living in a two-story house.
Yeah.
And all the family was there, you know, the cousins. And, you know, we had to, the kids slept upstairs.
Yeah.
And they had, and it was just, you know, being with family and the glow of the Christmas tree, the lights are down low, you know, I don't know, maybe the radio was playing, but that was pretty special.
Totally in the moment.
I think that's my favorite imagery of Christmas is it's lights are down low or off, the glow of the Christmas tree or light or the Christmas lights.
That's what's illuminating
the warmth
everything.
Of it. We've always hearkened back to the end of A Christmas Story when the mom and the dad are watching it snow outside and it's just dark outside. Or it's snowing outside, the lights are off, except the light from the tree and Mormon Tabernacle choirs and Silent Night, and they're just watching the snow.
The low fuzz of a radio kind of
that. It's Christmas.
It's like, I think back on that. It's like, I don't think I've idealized it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that these are, you know, true memories.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It just, it's so special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the time, maybe, especially as a teenager, when I didn't want to go to the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I look back on it, it's like, I'm thankful that I have those memories.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm thankful that, you know, I had my parents and my grandparents.
Yeah.
And I wish, you know, now as an adult, I wish I'd spent more time talking to my grandparents.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time we went out there, they were always out working.
Mm,
out on the, you know, grandpa was out working. They were, you know, doing stuff out on the property.
Yeah.
And grandpa, most of the time, didn't have his teeth in and he had a scruffy beard.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
I don't want to talk to him. He's gross.
Well, basically, it's like, that's why I always ask permission with my grandkids. Mm-hmm. Can I give you a hug?
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a kiss? Because I have those memories of the no teeth and scruffy beard, and it's like, I love my grandpa.
Merry Christmas.
I love my grandpa, but it was, you know, come here.
Like, squeeze your rosy cheeks.
I'll give you a spoot. It's a little sloppy this morning.
I just woke up. I just kidding. I've been up for 5 hours.
They got up. They were up before us. They, you know.
So in the times that you didn't want to go to the country, was it, that was like never an option? Right.
No.
It was always,
no.
I was going to say, there is no, you know, Donna stay at home.
No.
I hear you belly aching for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
I was a
senior. I remember one time I was a senior in high school and I had a really bad sore throat.
Yeah.
And I had to, I had to work the next day at Kmart.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, oh, can I just stay home? My throat hurts. Nope, we're going to the country. Like, yes. So, please. You know, just stay home?
What did you do to occupy your time while you were driving to the country?
Read.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Looked at the back of Grandpa's head. Yeah. Kind of hairs on his head.
Basically, you know, and tried not to, you know, fought with my siblings.
Yeah.
You know, Uncle Scott, you know, squished between Aunt Lori and I and Aunt Becky sitting on Grandma's. Maybe at that time, you know, there was a time where, you know, we drove, if we were making a long trip, Grandpa, we'd drove to Grandpa's Datsun. It was a 5-passenger vehicle, and we were fitting
six people.
Aunt Becky riding on Grandma's lap.
Yeah. we carried on that tradition of fitting more people than the car fits in there.
Yes.
Andrew
poor
sitting in
Andrew.
Your lap. Yeah.
Poor Andrew sitting in the back of the trunk.
Even at 16, he's on the floor. Andrew is sitting in someone's lap even at 16.
Yeah. No, it's usually in the back of the van.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back behind the rear seat sitting by the side door.
In between the middle seats and the sliding door.
Which
I always envied because I was like, that looks very cozy.
It's like, poor Andrew.
What I remember, some of my favorite traditions is you did carry on kind of the sights and the sounds, because that's my favorite tradition. And Christmas to me is always wrapped up in the sights and the sound, the decorating. We always went hog wild and decorating. I remember the house on Swallow, but I remember a lot the house on Coteau where you guys are still at now. Just
don't tell them our address.
I just doxed them. I didn't say where. It's not a large street though, so maybe you can find them. I would always anticipate like putting up the tree.
Yeah.
And I also, like, if we put up the tree on like the 20th, I was like, oh, that's too late.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't recall ever doing it. There were times because of work. Like, and mom was the one who put it up.
Yeah.
Mom was the one who put up everything. So if mom was working late some days, it wouldn't be till later in December.
Yeah.
So like we put up the tree, and then also we had so many decorations. Like we had bobbleheads, and we love talking and singing animatronics. And every inch of the house, almost every inch of the house had something Christmas in it. So when we'd walk through the house, I would see, you know, the living room was the epicenter of it all.
Yeah.
And that's where everything was. But, you know, you'd walk through the house and the front room had stuff.
Yeah.
And the bathroom had stuff. And I just remember just being
peppermint toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly. Tastes better than it smells.
Yeah, exactly.
But
my anus itches. burning.
Apart from the eucalyptus.
Yeah, probably.
But I remember just seeing Christmas things.
Yeah.
And before we got Conan, we always decorated the bay window
cat.
In the front
yeah.
room. Yeah, like the cat.
Yeah.
Decorated the front room window always.
Yeah.
Because, like, you had these ceramic, these ceramic decorations from, like, Walgreens and from like, I don't know, Target that we'd set up, and you would kind of recreate this like small town Christmas feel that
very Macy's window display.
Yeah.
It was very much inspired by the Macy's window display.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite tradition, was always the decorating and just putting everything Christmas up there. And it is such a indelible mark on me that even if it was like July, I'd be like walking in the basement and I'd see the little Christmas cubby that we had and all of our stuff crammed in there and be like, Christmas is here almost.
Well, and I think not just because of Conan, I think I got to the point where with working and it just got to the point, it's like I was tired.
Yeah.
I didn't have the energy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It just took all my energy just to put the tree up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
I have two, you know, I put two trees up now.
Yeah.
Well, back then, I think one time I put a tree in the front room window.
Yeah.
But it was just the whole energy level, you know, at Christmas. And I wanted to enjoy it, but it was like, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. But I had to keep that yeah. that going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. of course, know? It's the yeah. tradition to do right. it for the kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If only you had kids that could have helped you.
Well, Stephen did a couple times.
I did a few
Aren't
times.
Aren't you a good yeah. little boy?
Yes,
yeah.
I
yeah.
am.
I said, Stephen, you want to do the Christmas window this year?
Like, hell yeah. 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 I was like, hell yeah.
And you're like, what'd you say? I was like, nothing. I said, holly jolly. So growing up, also a part of your experience, I mean, department stores had been a thing
oh
for a while,
yeah.
but definitely, I mean, I just, there's a, just to kind of contextualize this a little bit, there's it back in, I can't, maybe it's like 2015, 2014, History Channel did a Christmas Through the Decades series,
yeah. right.
and they started with the 60s because going back to what you said, the 60s,
yeah, right.
same thing with Elvis pretty much started pop culture, like American right. pop culture right. in the 50s. The 60s was really the start of, like, you know, again, like the commercialization
yes.
of
yes.
Christmas. And part of that was the department stores. We had mentioned Macy's, you know, uh-huh. were famous
right.
for
right.
Yeah. their Christmas setup. So for you as a kid and as a teenager, what was kind of like the Christmas hub for you?
It was, as a child,
mm-hmm.
it was the Sears Wish Book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And in there, it's just looking at every page. And it's like, in my memory, it's like the thing that stands out is like I always wanted this thing that you could set up in your backyard to make yeah. an ice rink.
Oh, nice. Wow. That's cool.
It's like I always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the Wish Book. Or, you know, I have vague memories of going to downtown St. Louis,
yeah.
going to Famous Bar. That was
okay.
Christmas.
Yeah. yeah.
The Christmas Famous Bar
yeah.
was Christmas.
It's all done up.
Yeah.
Because I don't recall yet. Us having a Macy's for a long time.
No. Macy's bought out Famous
that
Bar.
That makes sense because I remember, yeah. I think it was the 2000s when we started getting
yeah.
Macy's.
Yes.
Jamestown Mall.
It, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. And it was Famous Bar. Styx, Bear, and Fuller, mm-hmm. which is now Dillard's.
Oh, okay.
But going downtown St. Louis, and they had the, like you said, the mm-hmm. Christmas windows. Inside, I don't know if we were, you know, going to see Santa or what we were doing, but I have a recollection of near the, not really the ceiling, but mm-hmm. up high,
yeah.
they had a train track going oh, around.
Oh, cool.
And I guess it was like in the toy department.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But just going in there, and at the time they had a place where they had the roasted peanuts
yeah.
and cashews.
Yeah.
Just, you know, makes you feel warm.
Yes.
You know, going to see the Christmas window displays, mm-hmm. going to downtown St. Louis and having the decoration. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. decorated.
Yeah.
It wasn't what it, you know, for a long time we lived in the city.
Yeah.
I do have, you know, my memories of being in Florissant mm-hmm. are the strongest memories.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There, you know, there wasn't really the mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Northwest Plaza was open air.
Right. Mm.
If we went, you know, as a child, we would go to downtown or, you know, we might go to Northwest Plaza. And there was a mall at the time called Northland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, off West Florissant.
Oh, okay.
And they had a Famous Bar.
Yeah. Mm.
So going to those places, hub. But you say hub. It had. It was the Wish Book.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's where you saw. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't as
right.
saturated with right. department store.
Right.
I don't know when we had a couple Kmart's in Florissant.
Oh, Kmart, yeah. Kmart was the big one.
Yeah,
you walked in as a little girl and you're like, I can't wait to work here.
No, Kmart and Venture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have Target. Actually, when I was a kid, you know, when their Target came, I was like, ooh, Target. I don't want to go to Target.
Because Kmart was the place.
Yeah.
Zaire was a store.
Yeah.
And that was where it became Venture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Zaire.
Yeah.
It's like, but department stores like Fisher's
was
a department store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was decorated for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other just department stores. I don't even remember the names, but a lot of them were like JCPenney.
Yeah.
Was it in a mall? There were other department stores mm-hmm. that, and it's like, those are my strongest memories. Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I can imagine, like, department stores, like, whether they were big or small, or in right. the early 70s is when Jamestown Mall opened. So right. you were a teenager yeah, when right. Jamestown was probably not too far from you.
No, it wasn't, but it was getting, you know, a ride.
How do you get there?
Yeah. 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 I didn't have my license until I was a senior.
Yeah.
So.
Same.
Yeah, same.
Before that, places like Walgreens and Kmart,
oh, yeah,
and like they would try to emulate what right, the downtown right. shops were mm-hmm. doing. So I can yeah. imagine it was more special because yeah. you were still getting that saturation
right.
of
yeah.
the
right.
sights and sounds of
right.
Christmas.
And it's back yeah. to the sense of warmth while it's so miserably cold outside. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, it could be one of my favorite visions or visuals is being in somewhere like a department store and it's dark outside
yeah.
and you hear yeah. like you see how they've decorated it and then yeah. you hear like the Christmas music over like mm-hmm. the PA system.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I love the thought of that and the visual of that, and I think there's that kind of transcendent warmth that also makes me nostalgic for times I never lived in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never lived in the 80s or the 70s or the 60s, but I love seeing the visuals of like that bygone
yeah.
era.
Well, and I tried to recreate it for
oh,
you
no,
guys
yeah.
that
exactly.
one year.
I knew exactly.
When we went to Hard Rock.
Yeah,
and
when
we
went to Macy's. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, that's a time it was just, you know, out
that
of.
Sticks out in my head.
Out
yeah.
of it never was all eight of us going out and doing things.
No.
Just because of schedules and, you know, all age differences. Teenage,
yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
teenage Samantha and Andrew didn't want to. But this was a time, what you were talking about was when Matt and I were in high school. So even by that time, like, I think Samantha was already married and, like, Andrew was out of the house. And so it was just myself, Matt, Tyler, and Amanda and you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we went did that. I also remember the times when Dad would go to like coaches meetings.
That's when we went
to coaches conferences.
Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't just that, but like we would like it would almost be a yearly thing to where Dad would go to a coaches conference and
yeah.
we'd go to like Ken Rods
yeah.
in Florissant,
yeah.
which became something that became a Hooters
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then I don't know if I think it's still open. Whatever. But we'd go to like we'd go out to eat and we'd go somewhere
yeah.
and look at Christmas things, or the next day we would go to the
yeah.
mall
yeah.
and like
yeah.
do Christmas shopping
yeah.
and that's another traditional thing like
yeah.
for me, like a Hub was all like the place to be for me during that time was always the mall,
right.
So, and I know that's why I asked about like Jamestown, but then you said like, you know, by the time you were a senior, like, I don't know how often you were venturing
we went to the mall a lot
mm-hmm.
when I was a, you know, when we had someone who had a car,
yeah.
you know, we would go to the Jamestown or Northwest
mm-hmm.
Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, growing up, Northwest Plaza was the place to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Before, you know, it wasn't closed in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do love, and I feel bad thinking about it now because I loved as like an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kid, I loved going to the mall. We
mm-hmm.
never really got to go to Mid Rivers a lot unless it was
no.
Christmas. We didn't
yeah.
really get to go to the Galleria or any of those malls.
Chesterfield
Mall. We would go to Chesterfield Mall if like we had a haircut.
Yeah.
Because that's
why we got haircuts.
Yes.
So you could go to the mall.
But,
for the mall.
But we'd
yeah.
go out that way. And there were times where it was you, especially after Tyler was born, you lugging all of us kids out to the mall, and my heart goes out to you because not only is it busy, but also you're trying to keep track of six kids
yeah.
and a baby.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where like I loved that. Like there's a mm-hmm. time that I specifically remember when you worked at Rhodes Furniture.
Yeah.
To where we you had to stop in at work in your office for like a second
yeah.
and then we're gonna go to Mid Rivers.
Yeah.
And I remember like going to the Disney store and like
yeah.
anytime we always like, is there, you know, we knew at Jamestown there was a comic book
yeah.
store and a card store, but is there one here? It's just going to all these different places and
right.
then like how they decked out the whole mall and like the Christmas
yeah.
music. And I say the context that I listen to All I Want for Christmas Is You as if it's coming over a mall speaker.
Yeah.
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 Well, and the looks we would get when mm-hmm. we would go. When I took all six of you guys,
yes.
people would just stare as one kid after another would come piled out. It's like the clown car. Yeah. It's like, what are you looking at?
What? I'm going to backhand you.
But also considering, like, you know, taking into consideration our financial situation at the time, it was also nice to know that when we go to the mall for a Christmas trip, it's a special trip.
Yeah. Right.
On our way down, we're listening to Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas or the Rosie O'Donnell Christmas album.
Yeah.
We're all packed away in the clown car. We're all going to get lunch at the food court. We're all going to go around. And there were times to where you would buy, you know, where we would reach an age where you would have to buy like six different Christmas gifts for everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, this is Samantha's gift to Andrew, and Andrew's gift to Tyler, and my gift to Matt and to Amit. So like, it's staggering to think of that. But also, like, I appreciate your commitment to like wanting to make that a special time.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where we had to, you have to let some traditions fall away, and you have to, you know, you take up new ones and, you know,
we went to the mall a lot, but didn't buy anything.
Yeah. Right.
We would just, you know, just to,
as a
you
trip
know,
to get out of the house.
We would go we'd go to the mall, we'd look around, maybe get something to eat.
Yeah.
But we didn't really buy anything.
Yeah.
But at Christmas, it was you guys, you know, got to pick out a gift for one of your siblings or, you know, a gift for dad or whatever. Yeah. But
and it's like, hey, Andrew's picking out your gift here. Go wait outside and like hide it under like Tyler's stroller.
Even
when he was 10, he was in a stroller.
Exactly.
But yeah, I
he wasn't in a stroller. We still had to hold his hand.
Yeah. We just took the stroller to put stuff in.
Yeah, pretty much.
You mentioned this, the Sears book. It reminds me of the Toys R Us big toy book.
Yeah. Oh,
Which was huge for us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we would still get like the Sears and book too. Like around Christmas time, they come out with the special like Christmas edition.
Right. Yeah. You'd have to thumb through it to get to like where I wanted to look.
Yeah.
Whereas the big toy book was like,
I'd make a pit stop in some sections.
Yeah. See, I know I'm not a woman, but I might need some woman's underwear.
Yeah, just for educational purposes.
I can't believe they put this in a catalog.
Yeah. Buzz, your girlfriend, Wolf.
But yeah, I mean, they did that with the Toys R Us stuff. And then,
well, they don't have women's underwear in the Toys R Us catalog.
Sorry, the Women's R Us.
Women's R Us. But,
Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. It's different, you know, not connected.
Yeah.
But also KB Toys. I remember
we mentioned
last week how you told us
you
hated going as KB because it was so crowded, which I understand.
Yeah. It was so claustrophobic. It's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Just pick something.
Take my kids. So I know it gets crowded, but I do. Yeah. I did love going to the mall.
Oh, yeah.
And I still, if I have the opportunity to go to the mall during Christmas time, I love it.
Yeah.
So, fourth question, from what you can remember, your favorite Christmas gifts when you were younger.
Okay, this was, I was really, I was maybe eight or nine at the time. I remember it because as a little girl, I loved clothes.
Yeah.
I loved getting clothes. I loved, you know, different outfits and stuff. And I very vividly remember, this is when we lived over on Floreval, right behind your apartment here.
Yeah.
In a little tiny two-bedroom house, one bathroom. Oof. And I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And it may have been Christmas Eve. Grandma was up sewing.
Oh.
And I saw her making our Christmas present.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, go to back to bed, you know, and
so you
got up the
pants
next morning, and it's one of my favorite Christmas presents from a childhood. Grandma had made Aunt Lori and I, at the time, I told you guys yesterday, we couldn't wear pants to school. Girls had to wear dresses.
Yeah.
They were starting to let us wear, you know what a tunic top is. That's, you know, like a longer top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
pants.
Yes. Yeah. You know, not jeans, pants.
Mm-hmm.
So Grandma had made Aunt Lori and I, they were like red velvet tunic tops and white satin pants. And I was like, oh, I love that little outfit.
Two little Christmas girls.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved it. I loved that little outfit. We were, you know, put them on. We were Aunt Lori and I were so cute.
Now perform. I hope you're prepared.
It's just,
Don.
It's a great memory.
Yeah, of course.
I don't have, you know, a lot of vivid memories about Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably got Barbies.
Yeah.
Girl toys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that's one of my
but
favorite.
Your mom made that for
yes.
you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember, and it's like, oh, man, I knew it wasn't from Santa Claus. It was yeah. for Mom. Mm-hmm. But another gift, it was.
Santa doesn't know how to sew.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why. You know,
I was
he's
probably,
calling a favor.
You know, maybe yeah. 12 or 13. We were living on Swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And I got ice skates.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah.
And
for the thing you got in the Sears book.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I got these ice skates, and I'm like, okay. But it became
sure
neat because Grandma had signed Aunt Lorian up for skating lessons.
Cool.
At the
Civic Center.
Civic Center.
Yeah,
at
there's
the
an
ice rink.
There's an
yeah.
ice rink outside of our
Civic
Center.
So it's like, oh, okay. And I love those skates. And I even took them one time out to Grandma and Grandpa Thompson's.
Yeah.
They had the, where they were living at the time, they had a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And it had froze enough that I could go ice skate on their
cool.
pond.
Ooh,
it's
yeah,
like,
that's,
oh, okay.
That's neat.
You know, you see that in movies, you yeah. know, people ice skating on
I wish
a pond.
I knew how to ice skate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you know.
I wish I knew how to ice skate.
I'm sorry. You were deprived as a child.
I wish I knew how to ride a bike.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Swim.
Sure.
I wish I knew how to rollerblade.
Yeah, whatever.
You guys are the middle of six.
Yeah, whatever. You're lucky you have food.
Seven. Sorry, it's middle of seven. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're lucky you have food.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right.
We weren't lacking
but,
of anything.
You know,
so.
I mean, it's not anything exciting.
Yeah. I could have played hockey, though. I could have been
yeah.
in the NHL.
Yeah. Well, Dad gave we. I got it before Christmas, but
yeah.
it was supposed to be a Christmas present. But my engagement ring.
Oh,
boo.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boo,
so.
Boring. You be quiet. Okay.
And it was one of those things where I had it before Christmas, mm-hmm. and I got to, at the time, I was down at Cape
yeah.
at
okay.
school.
Yeah.
And I got to do that at the time in the dorms. They had a
yeah.
tradition. It wasn't a you know fratern or a sorority thing.
Yeah.
It was a dorm thing where you had a like a candle lighting ceremony
yeah. Yeah.
or something, where if you were engaged,
yeah.
you know.
Okay.
So I got
yeah.
to have my ring.
Cool.
But then
yeah.
at Christmas, Dad took it and put it in a box,
yeah.
in a box, in a box,
yeah,
in a box.
Did,
so, yeah.
yeah,
yeah. So that's
very creative.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, the.
He used
as
to be
a child,
a
yeah. As a child, it was the neat outfit
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
the
yeah.
ice skates.
Yeah. yeah, maybe it's a good thing that you don't get hung up so much on like trying to remember your presents because
yeah.
like you were more focused on presents than
yeah.
presents.
The presents.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Very good.
Christmas presents
well,
instead
I
of Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have so many great memories of you guys. You know, Christmas with. My children,
yeah.
then
oh, yes.
I'm kind of just like I had to purge those memories.
Yeah,
of,
yeah.
Of being
well,
a kid.
So your brain doesn't have. I mean, your brain's smaller now, but but honestly, what yeah. becomes more important to you is that your family that you grew up in is important, but the
yes.
family you created is
yes.
more important
yeah,
than that.
Yes.
So you decide to hold on to those memories.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But you get
like
more
joy
out of
yes.
watching your
yeah.
kids open
yeah.
presents
yeah.
than
yeah.
you actually
yeah.
getting anything.
Right.
That's one of those things I wish I could think of, like a really
I wish I could relate
yeah.
to. I just love presents.
No,
I don't care if anyone else likes them. I like them.
No, it's, I wish I could think of, like, again, we weren't lacking for, like, presents either,
no,
which
no.
was great because I think we mentioned we had a Christmas nostalgia episode last year, and we mentioned how, like, the more the older I get, the more I'm just impressed by how much we had.
Mm.
Because again, we weren't like we were fine financially
yeah.
a lot of times, but we weren't like financially super well off. So like to be able to have what we did,
yeah.
I appreciate
yeah.
like more than anything.
Yeah.
But to think of something specific, like it's tough because I mean, we got our first Blues jersey for Christmas or
yeah.
when we got our video camera, which I contend
yeah.
was, you know, kind of a seed planted, you know,
mm-hmm.
with making videos that turned into what we're like
yeah.
doing
right.
now and what we've been doing. It was a creative outlet for us.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, there were, when we became wrestling fans, if we got something wrestling related, like
yeah.
which usually just had to become something I got for Matt and he got for me or Uncle
yeah.
Scott got us, but it was
yeah.
just, I don't know. I guess it's just indicative of whatever we were like super into
mm-hmm.
at the time, you know, getting a bag of baseball and hockey cards or something.
Yeah.
Like just,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know. It's just, I mean, but just, I think I was just always wowed by one of my favorite things, and this kind of goes back to traditions, was, you know, waiting in one of our rooms for you or dad to come get us, and then walking out in the hall and just being wowed by just the visual of all those presents under the tree, and just being more excited by that. And in the last few years, most of them have been handmade by you, which is, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
I don't have any issue with that at all. So it's just, it's a, you know, I named a few presents there. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
No, that's all good.
Yeah, there were a lot of years that I had to be very creative because we didn't have money.
Yeah.
There was one Christmas we got help from the church.
Yeah, which rolls into, we had apologized for the story. We had told the story for years how we were like, I asked for Batman action figures. I got Worf from Star Trek. And they were like, Mom, do you even know? I've never watched this so much. But then you were like, yeah, I think that was the year we got presents from church. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel like an a-hole.
Yeah, well, and like no. And it was going to, you know, I wanted to make it where you had something to open.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, go into Family Dollar or go into Dollar General or go into Goodwill to get clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to, or going to one of those resale shops.
Yeah.
It's like I had to be creative. And there were some Christmases where it's like, I want to celebrate, but I don't. It's like, you know, I want it to, and you get into, like, when the financial situation was starting to get a little better, went into credit card debt.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to make each Christmas more over the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is, you know, now it's, I should have been more about the memories, not trying to get you the next game system or, but I wanted to, because there were years that we didn't have much.
Sure.
I wanted to make those years special. Mm-hmm. And I think they were.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have any regrets. I do regret the credit card debt.
Right, yeah. But you guys had been working your way out of that for years now. You know, it'll even out.
Oh, it has.
But Okay, good.
It took declaring bankruptcy, which was humiliating.
Right, yeah.
But you came back from it.
Yeah. You came back from it. You evened it out.
Yeah.
Now you have a retirement you're living off of.
Yeah.
Both you and Dad. So. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Living off my sugar daddy.
Stop it.
Can we move on, please?
But no, I mean, if it makes you feel, and I mean, you say you have no regrets, which you shouldn't have any regrets over that. I didn't bat an eye at it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was all, if we were focused on presents, it was all about presentation was the biggest thing. And we had a couch next to the tree, and there's always just so just overflowing, and there's it was just
it was just about that image of everybody getting a specific amount of presents,
mm-hmm.
each kid, and then it's like an explosion
then Tyler would get most of them when he came along.
All of you got the same amount, or when you got older I could explain, well, you know, this costs a little more, so
you won't get as much.
I like the way we distributed the gifts. Like, you would play the, you know, quote unquote, the Santa Claus. Yeah. Like in Christmas Story, when Ralphie
used to play Santa Claus.
Get a present.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody open it until everyone has a present kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we'd break in the middle and have breakfast. And
And I was all about, I don't like when we would go to Dad's family.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's ripping into presents, just throwing. It's like, I want to see what everybody got.
Sure.
Yeah. I want to enjoy the moment.
Why are we in such a hurry?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we didn't want to be around one another. We've established that.
But with that, you know, with our family, it was like about seeing what, you know, take your time, open one present at a time. I want to see a reaction. I would like to see, you know, everyone's reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I want them to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
And there was definitely happiness and joy. Final question. Mm-hmm. I think we're at six because I think I swapped two of the questions.
Oh, that's okay.
So now I think I think this is still six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we kind of already touched on a lot of them here. But if you haven't mentioned any, your favorite Christmas memories.
Right. Well, and again, the house on Floreville,
mm-hmm.
at that time in the 60s, it was the silver Christmas tree. That was the thing. Yeah. And we had one of those, and it had a color wheel, and you would turn the color wheel on, and it would change the color on the tree.
Yeah, nice.
That's a great one. And then, like I said, going to Grandma and Grandpa's and seeing, going, driving around, not around, but like going, at the time, I think it was Ferguson, the store windows would have painted displays on them.
Okay, I can see it in my head.
Going through, and then the lights that are like hung across the street, the street, and the sign "Merry Christmas." You know, driving through, you know, Ferguson, driving through, you know, Stillville or Cuba, and seeing the old fashioned, you know, lights, but that silver Christmas tree. Yeah. Oh man, as an adult. Dad and I, our first Christmas together is a great memory. We were living in these apartments, not this one. Not the specific apartment. In the old section. A couple of buildings down from where you live now. And I always remembered Grandma and Grandpa talking about their first Christmas together when they were living in the city. They walked to a Christmas tree stand and carried their tree back to the apartment because they didn't have... Well, they probably had a car, but you didn't, there wasn't a lot of driving going on. So Dad and I, you know, I tried to, you know, recreate that with Dad. We walked on the corner. There was a Christmas tree stand. We got our tree, got it up to the, our little apartment. It took up the whole room.
It was close to National Lampoon.
But here's Dad with a steak knife trying to hack down the tree trunk limbs to try and get it in the stand because I wanted a real tree. It was just, you know, I have pictures of that. They're probably in one of the photo albums or in a box or something, but just that memory of our first Christmas together. Trying to get that tree up is like, oh my gosh.
But that's part of the memory.
Did Lampoon, you know, were they there?
No squirrel,
because we didn't go out to the woods and chop it down. But we did that one time when I was a kid. We went out
to the woods.
We probably drove out to our property. At that time, we had property in Cherryville. I think we might have drove out to the property and cut down a tree and brought it home. But no squirrels in the tree.
Whenever I think of, you know, memories from like Christmas in the 60s or in the 70s, all I think about is seeing it through the filter of like 8mm like projector film and hearing the song from Christmas Vacation when Clark's up in the attic, Spirit of Christmas. Although when he's watching his home movies, those are from the 50s, but still, I mean, there's you know, some of those years have an, you know, indistinguishable difference between depending on who you were, but I like thinking of that because I hear like that scene from Christmas Vacation. But I think Christmas memories for us, like, kind of already touched on a lot of them, and then they all kind of
Do the driving around and looking at Christmas lights.
That was fun.
The token, go to the mall to see Santa kind of thing.
We would always have like either a Christmas Eve or later on in life, it would be maybe a day or two after Christmas, we'd go with Dad's side of the family. And, I mean, we always now, ever since they've been back from Nashville since like 2000, since the 2000s, we've gone to Grandma and Grandpa Parrott's after opening presents and stuff. So, There's a whole bunch of memories. When we first met Brian, our brother-in-law, Samantha brought him to a Christmas gathering, so that's a nice memory. So, I mean, just anytime, it's tough to, like, really pinpoint something because, you know, yesterday was Thanksgiving. It's just we've been thankful to have had a lot of great memories that all kind of, like, almost like fused together. I think that's good. I think just as a whole, there's the warmth of knowing I had a great memory, and maybe the details of that will come up at some point. But it's just we've been fortunate enough to have so many like good ones that it just they all kind of like fuse together.
Well, and just the whole season, and then going into New Year's, Grandma and Grandpa always had a New Year's party. And they had friends that would come in. And, I mean, it was like crazy at that little house on Floreval.
Yeah.
It was like it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, you know, their friends were able to set up the amplifiers, get out their guitars, play, you know, country music pretty much.
Yeah.
So almost every year, our house was the hub for New Year's.
Yeah.
You know, even in the little, you know, house over there. And in not, you know, I can remember a couple times when we moved over to Swallow, them having people over on New Year's, but it got away from that.
Yeah.
Didn't really do that as much. The more we got into going to church, we did stuff with church.
Yeah.
But the whole, all the memories I have from that little house on Floreval is just like so precious.
Yeah, of course.
Before the other two came along.
So the little ankle, biters.
Yeah.
I hated the 70s. Those two were around.
Yeah.
Still some resentment I see.
Yeah.
But I mean, as like all of you out there, I'm sure, you know, there are some, I know we always ask, you know, send us, you know, send us some of your memories if you want to chat on Instagram. And please, like, continue. We will continue to say it and continue to do it. Let us know some of your favorite holiday memories.
Yeah.
Hopefully you all enjoyed listening to this here. I know, you know, I just want to say again, I know it's not the same for everyone. I know sometimes the holiday season can be contentious. So if you're listening now, I'm sorry you've gone through what you've gone through. And I hope that times have either gotten better or are getting better. And hopefully we can bring a little bit of joy to your holiday season. And thank you for listening. Mom, thank you for joining us.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Love you too. And thank you for providing
us. I love you more than Diet Coke.
Oh, and that's saying something.
I was worried there for a second. For a long time, I questioned.
We give you bigger headaches when you're without us than when you're without Diet Coke.
Exactly.
But thank you for joining us. Thank you for the Christmas memories. And
thank you for giving birth.
That was a trial.
We got to have a whole podcast
about the day we were born.
No, not just about the whole time leading up to the number of times I was at the hospital.
Yeah, well,
spending over a week in barns.
You're carrying all that greatness with you.
They put you in a barn.
No, not in a barn.
Because we're farm animals.
Barn hospital.
No room at the end.
Yeah,
you got to go give birth in a barn.
That was my womb.
Yeah,
It was party time. They recognized the two of us were freaks, so they couldn't be born in a conventional hospital.
I'd just be glad we don't have you under a circus tent, lady.
Exactly.
These two are going to be two sideshows. No, but I mean, thank you for giving us this love of Christmas.
Yeah.
I still love it. I hope that love never goes away.
Right.
And thank you all again. Thank you for joining us. Your fifth appearance will be next year at some point.
Yeah.
We'll have you on to talk about the 80s.
Okay.
But thank you all for joining us. We have three more weeks until Christmas time. So hopefully you all are having a very merry whatever you celebrate. We honor it. We respect it. And we thank you all for taking the time out to listen. Until the next time,
be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time.
Yes.